Today, I would like to give meditation instructions and suggestions on the three characteristics of existence. The three characteristics of existence are impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, or dukkha. Then non-self or selfless nature of all conditioned things. In order to understand these three characteristics of existence, you need to understand the Pali word called vipassana, insight knowledge. Vipassana is a Pali word made of two words. One is vi, another one passana. The word passana comes from the verb, a Pali verb called passati, which means to see. So passana then means contemplation or seeing with the eye of wisdom. That's one word you need to understand, to see or to contemplate. Then the Pali word vi means two things. One is visesana and vivida. Visesana, if you bring the word passana, it means to contemplate in a specific way, not in an ordinary way. As we meditate, we need to contemplate in a specific way. What does that mean? Most of the people, when they see things, concepts in the world, they just see concepts. They don't go deeper to see what's behind this concept. Let me give an example. It's like this water. When you ask people, what's this? Oh, they will say, oh, it's water. Water bottle. Water in a bottle. Okay, so now, this is very interesting. In this bottle, there's water, and you ask people, what's this? Many people will say water. Of course, that's true, and that's a concept. This is what we call ordinary way of seeing. Everybody, even somebody from grade 2, you know that this water. When you bring a scientist or somebody who knows about biology, they will say, oh, this is H2O. That's also ordinary way of seeing. But from a meditation point of view, we need to see in a very specific way, very specific. For a meditator, this is not just only water or H2O. It's actually different elements. The four elements are here. You can be aware of earth elements when you become aware of hardness and softness of this water. When you touch this water, sometimes cool, sometimes hot. So then you become aware of coolness and the warmness or hotness of this water. Then there's water element itself, there's air element, there's pressure, there's many, many things you can see, you can contemplate directly and have that specific experience. So the unique, the intrinsic nature of this water, you can see what's this, what people call water, in a very specific way, is hardness, softness, pressure. There's also warmness, depending, of course, the temperature of your body. So that's one meaning of visesana, seeing things in specific way. So when we meditate, we need to see things in a specific way. So we need to see the pressure as you're sitting here. You become aware of hotness of the body. You become aware of tightness of the body. That's very unique, and that's your experience. There's another word which is very, very important here. It's called vivida in the word in Vipassana. Vivida means, of course, when you look at Vipassana, so means contemplating or seeing things in a different way. Not in one way, but in different ways. Like you see things as impermanence, you see things as suffering, you see things as selfless, impersonal. So that's why it's very, very important for a meditator to be aware of different things in one experience. Let's say when you touch water like this and you press it, you're going to feel hardness. Hardness. That's in a specific way. But what happened to this hardness? Can you be aware of the how hardness changes to maybe softness? So that's impermanence nature. Then you become aware of the impermanence nature of that experience. And also it's impersonal, right? It's impersonal. So this is very, very important to understand this Pali word, Vipassana, in order to understand the three characteristics of existence. So I'll explain one by one. Impermanence, what does it mean from a meditation point of view? Of course, in general, things are impermanent. By the way, we are not meditating to make impermanent things more impermanent. Things are already impermanent. Things are already impermanent. But some of the time, if not all the time, we are unable to see this. We are unable to see this. We see impermanence probably in a general way. We see from a historical point of view, we have seen empires disappearing, like Roman Empire. It disappeared. It rose and disappeared. We can see also Egyptian Empire. It rose and disappeared. So that's in a general way. And also from a biological point of view, we can see impermanence as we keep on growing, as we see things changes, trees shedding colors and falling. From a biological point of view, we see the gross part of impermanence. And also we see from a cosmological point of view, where we see things changing, the cosmology changing. You know, even if we see the sun, sunset and sunrise, right? We see moon, half moon, new moon changing, and then we see stars. So this is general impermanence that is very common to most of us. But in meditation, it's slightly different. What we are doing here is more of seeing or contemplating the subtle nature of impermanence. So for that matter, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we call impermanence? What we call impermanence is actually the five aggregates of clinging. We have to really understand the five aggregates of clinging. The five aggregates of clinging are physical form, the body. Second is feelings. The third one is perception. The fourth is mental formations. That includes mind states like madness, greed, hatred, delusion, and so on, including faith actually. Then consciousness. Eye consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, and so on. So these are what we call the five aggregates which are subject to clinging. They are changing all the time, they are impermanent. So from a meditation point of view, we need to understand these five aggregates of clinging and see them as impermanence, unsatisfactory, or suffering, and selfless nature of these components, the conditioned things. But the question is, If these things are already impermanent, why are we unable to see them? They're already impermanent, but why do we not see them? In fact, the Pali word vivida requires us to see things in different ways, in terms of impermanence, suffering, and selfless nature. Because things are already impermanent, unsatisfactory, and impersonal. But we need to see them for ourselves. I will illustrate like this. You see this paper? This paper? We see it as a paper. But in order to see what's inside, we need to unfold it. And once we unfold it like this, we can see three holes. These are anicca, dukkha, anatta. But we normally don't see because it's folded. We need to unfold it. So vipassana helps us unfold things and then we see for ourselves. The reason why we are unable to see actually these three characteristics of existence, it's because of ignorance or delusion. Ignorance is a mental state that conceals these characteristics of existence. On one level, it conceals them that we cannot see them clearly, we cannot see them at all, so we see nothing. It's like spiritual darkness. We can't see the three characteristics of existence. On another level, let's say the negative function of ignorance is not to see at all. But on another level, we can say positive function of ignorance. We really see quite the opposite. In other words, with a perverted mind, that's what we call perverted mind. We see, but quite the opposite. So instead of seeing things as impermanent, we see them as permanent. Instead of seeing things as suffering, we see them as happiness. Instead of seeing things as selfless, anatta, or impersonal, we see them as personal. So this is what we call the perversions. And these perversions are due to ignorance. So we need to substitute ignorance with wisdom, with insight knowledge, with meditation, so that we can see the three characteristics of existence. Now, we meditate. We close our eyes, open our eyes, and then we start breathing in and out. Breathing and out. Breathing and out. What do we see? We see the breath changing all the time. All the time. We even become aware of different sensations in the breath. Feelings are changing all the time. They don't stay the same. Mind states are changing all the time. And so on. But what happens when we have difficult emotions, let's say anger? It's also changing all the time. But what happens? Most of us, when such a mind state happens, arises in our thought process, it's changing all the time, but we ourselves, with our delusion and ignorance, we hold on to it, we fix it, we make it permanent. It's my anger. I want to be angry because of ABC. We justify our anger and then we make it permanent. We try to stabilize it. And we try to stabilize something that is very difficult to stabilize. We hold on to it tightly. And we try to make something which is impermanent, we try to make it permanent. And that's really a lot of suffering. And most of the time we suffer because we try to make things quite the opposite. The opposite of what they are in the reality. So, when we look at our experience in meditation, they are changing all the time. They are impersonal. And that's what we need to see. We can even ask ourselves, why even bother to go through all that? Exercise, contemplation, to see the three characteristics, of existence. The answer to this question is, when we practice, when we contemplate the three characteristics of existence, we will overcome clinging and craving. And when we come clinging and we overcome clinging and craving, we will attain peace, happiness, and liberation. That's the way to go. If we fail to see the three characteristics of existence in our meditation, in our daily life, we'll get quite the opposite. We'll continue to cling on things, including difficult things, including difficult mind states such as greed, hatred, delusion, fear. All these difficult mind states, we'll continue to cling on to them, and then we are going to have pain, we are going to have suffering, and then we are not going to be liberated. We are not going to be free from suffering. So we can choose. The menu is very small. We can choose either to go to the path to liberation by contemplating the three characteristics of existence, or we can choose to go to the path to suffering by ignoring them, by ignoring these characteristics of existence. Also, I'd like to talk about some of the things that conceals these three characteristics, even when they're clear, but something tend to conceal them. Like, for instance, the characteristics of impermanence. While it's very clear, we see it in our daily life, we see it in our meditation, the breath coming and going, and sensations coming and going, thoughts coming and going, and emotions coming and going. But when we come to meditate, there is something that happens that conceals these characteristics. And even when we are not meditating, actually, there's something that happens that conceals these characteristics. For impermanence, what conceals it is the continuity of things. Things seem to be continuous. And then when things are continuous, we cannot see the impermanence nature of things. We see things as permanent because of the continuity of things. They are in flux. It's like a light. If it's just being switched on and off very quickly, very fast, it looks like one light like this. But if you actually see for yourself, you can see, oh, it's one light after the other. Especially when you are traveling and you come to a road, they're constructing a road, and then there is an arrow. It's amazing how those arrows direct us to somewhere where there's a detour. From far, you see the arrow, but when you drive and come close to the sign, all what you see is one bulb after the other. That means the impermanence nature of this light. One is switched on, off, and on and off. Then you see the arrow when you're far. But when you're close, you can see it's one bulb after the other, after the other. It's on and off, on and off. So that's why actually we are unable to see because of the continuity of things. And for dukkha, why we are unable to see dukkha as the sign of existence is the changing of postures. We keep on changing postures. You sit here and meditate. And even when you're not meditating, in your daily life, you keep on blinking all the time. In meditation, we make subtle movements like this. Then actually, things look to be normal, but actually, suffering is there all the time. But we can't change postures. Subtle changes we make, and then we don't see so much of this suffering nature. And of course, what conceals anatta, non-self, as being concealed, and we cannot see things as non-self, is the solidity of things. Things look solid, even the body looks so solid, but it is made of one component after another component. Right? Yeah, this is what it is. So in order to understand actually these three characteristics of existence, there are three words that you need to understand. One, for instance, for impermanence, you need to understand what is impermanent. The answer to that is the five aggregates of clinging. The second question is, what's impermanence signs? In other words, anicca lakkhana, the sign of impermanence. What is the sign of impermanence? The sign of impermanence is rising. That's one sign. Another one is passing away. Another one is both rising and passing away. So you need to know the three things. One is rising, another one is passing away, another one both rising and passing away. In meditation, that has to be done. You need to contemplate in this manner. Then another word that you need to understand is what we call anicca anupassana. Anicca anupassana, in other words, in English, is contemplating along the signs of impermanence. And that's what we do in meditation. Actually, in meditation, that's exactly what we should do. We should contemplate along the signs of impermanence. Anicca means impermanence, anu means along with, and then pasana means to see or to contemplate it, to contemplate. So when we do that, our meditation will go smoothly because we'll be tuning in to the three characteristics of existence. Even when you practice, let's say another sign, which is dukkha, suffering, we need to know what's dukkha. What's dukkha? What's suffering? The answer to this question is the five aggregates are, in fact, the five aggregates of clinging are dukkha, are suffering. It's very, very important to understand this. Not just in theory, but in your experience. You know that, okay, these feelings is unpleasant. That's feeling part of the five aggregates, so it's dukkha. Then the sign of dukkha, which is dukkha lakkhana, so the impermanence, that's a sign. In fact, there's a discourse called Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, where the Buddha say what is impermanence is suffering. So then in meditation, when you see that things are changing, sooner or later you know that it's unsatisfactory. And then another word you need to know also is called dukkha anupassana, means contemplating along the sign of suffering. So when you meditate, you should know for yourself the signs of suffering. When everything is changing constantly, everything is changing constantly, and then you're contemplating, then at that time you will know the second characteristics of existence, which is suffering or unsatisfactory. Other people call it insecurity. So this really comes naturally once you really contemplate on the sign of impermanence. So dukkha also you will see as you continue your practice. And lastly, the sign and the another characteristic of existence, which is called anatta, is actually very, very profound. Yes, This one also you need to know it in three ways. One is, what is it that is anatta? The answer to this question is, the five aggregates of clinging are selfless. They are of selfless nature, they are impersonal, they are made of different conditions, the different conditions coming together, and then these five aggregates of clinging, body form and feelings and so on. So you know that from your experience, from meditation. And then you need also to know what you call anatta lakana, which means sign of selfless nature, sign of non-self. What are the signs? Of course, if something is impermanent, is also unsatisfactory, then it's selfless, it's non-self. That's what we find again in the discourse, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The Buddha say that what is suffering, what is impermanent, it's also have no self. So this is a practice that we need to do when we contemplate on the three characteristics of existence. Now, most of the people say, well, for me, I don't understand the word non-self. What is it? What the Buddha was teaching about this non-self? Actually, if you want to understand this word better, it's very, very important to know, what do we mean by the word self? In meditation or in philosophy, so we have to understand this for ourselves. See, when you meditate, whether you can find inside what you call self. You can't find it. In fact, the word self came into existence from Indian philosophy, where they thought that the self, they used to think that the self is unconditioned, the self is actually permanent, the self can be subjected to control. But when we come to meditate, and also in our exploration, try to find out for ourselves, as we look at the five aggregates of clinging, we find out for ourselves that each of the five aggregates, let's say physical form, it's actually conditioned. It's conditioned, and anything that's conditioned is non-self. And also we find for ourselves that the five aggregates of clinging are changing all the time. And also they're beyond our control. So anything that is impermanent, that is conditioned, that's beyond our control, definitely that's what we call non-self or selfless nature of our experience. It's impersonal, and it's really there's nothing you can find. There's no core in these five aggregates of clinging. So when you practice meditation, it's very, very important that you really find out what are the three characteristics of existence. And the best way to find out for yourself is contemplating along impermanence, contemplating along suffering and unsatisfactoriness, contemplating along impersonal nature of these experiences. I wish you success in this practice. May you be well, happy and peaceful.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.